by measuring how much, quote unquote, good we've done by images, ideas, and clean storylines, we sorely miss the point. We always end up falling short. We were not built to be more than we are. Our desire to be more isn't a matter of being beyond our humanity, but wanting to be comfortably in it.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
It's Violet Benson, your favorite meme queen and the big sis you didn't ask for, but need. Welcome to Almost Adulting.
Almost Adulting. Almost Adulting.
Are you ready?
If you don't know what you're doing with your life, then this episode is for you. Hi, everyone, and welcome to a brand new Almost Adulting podcast, the largest self-love podcast and movement, your number one destination for personal growth and mental health. I'm your big sister and your host, Violetta. Welcome to a brand new Benson Book Club every Tuesday. In honor of me writing a book this year, I've decided to dedicate our Tuesday episodes to me basically covering some of my favorite books, my favorite chapters from those books, and sharing with you guys for some wisdom, for some stuff that we can learn. And today is all about figuring out what you need to hear if you don't know what you're doing with your life. And then I'm going to share some signs that you are actually doing way better than you think you are. Today's essays are brought to you by 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think by Brianna West. So if you ask any young adult what their primary stressor in life is, it's likely that something that relates to uncertainty. If you were to boil it down to a sentence, it would be something along the lines of, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. How many times have you heard someone say that? I mean, how many times have you said that? Probably a lot. The idea that we should know is a heaping pile of socially crafted bullshit that's been superimposed on our psyche since kindergarten. Actually, it's holding us back. Nobody, not one of us knows what we are doing with our lives. We can't summarize the big picture, not yet. We don't know what we'll be doing in 5 years, and pretending that we can predict it isn't being responsible or ambitious. It's cutting ourselves off from living according to our inner navigation systems, as opposed to the narrative we once thought would be right. You owe nothing to your younger self. You are not responsible for being the person you once thought you'd be, but you do owe something to the adult you are today. Do you know why you don't have the things you once thought you wanted? Do you know why you're not the person you once thought you'd be? Because you don't want those things anymore. Not badly enough. If you did, then you would probably have them and be them. If you're wondering, well, what you should do with your life, then it's likely that you are in a limbo between realizing you don't want what you once did and then giving yourself permission to want what you want now. Thinking you know what you're doing with your life quells your hunger. It soothes your mind with the illusion that your path is laid out before you and that you no longer have to choose, which is just another way to say that you're no longer responsible for becoming the person you want and need to be. Hunger is important. Complete fulfillment is a fast track to complacency. People don't thrive when they're fulfilled. They stagnate. So fuck knowing what you're going to do with your life. What are you doing today? What do you love? What intrigues you? What will you do today if you could be anyone you wanted to be? If social media didn't exist, so you didn't have to look at all those people you're envious of because they show you only 10% of their life, which always looks amazing. What do you even want to do this weekend? What do I want is a question that you need to ask yourself every single day. The things that run true will weave through your life. The ones that pop back up again and again are the ones that you will follow. They'll become the places you remain, the people you're drawn to, the choices that you make. The core truths will win out, even if other truths are lodged besides them. Listening to it saying, "What do I want now?" So here are 20 signs that you are actually doing way better than you think you are, okay? Number one, you paid the bills this month and maybe you even had an extra to spend on non-essentials. So it doesn't matter how much you bellboarded on the checks as they went out. The point is that they did and you figured it out regardless. Number two, you question yourself. You doubt your life. you feel miserable some days. This actually means that you are still open to growth. This means that you can be objective and self-aware that the best people go home at the end of the day and they think to themselves, maybe there's another way. Number three, you have a job. It's okay if you don't. For however many hours, at whatever rate, you are earning money. And it helps you eat something, sleep on something, wear something every day. It's not a failure if it doesn't look the way you thought it would. You are valuing your independence and you are taking responsibility for yourself. Number four, you have time to do something you enjoy, even if what you enjoy is just sitting on the couch and ordering dinner or watching Netflix or taking a nap. Number five, you are not worried about where your next meal is coming from. There is currently food in your fridge or pantry, and you have enough to actually pick and choose what you want to eat. Number six, you can eat because you enjoy it. It's not a matter of sheer survival. And I know some people may hear number five and six and laugh about it, but there are many people out there who go days without eating, who don't know when their next meal is coming, who can't eat because they enjoy it. It's just a matter of sheer survival, whatever they can get. Many of us grew up with this and many of us still struggle with that. So I think whenever you feel bad about your life, it's so important to take those moments, like the things I'm listing right now, and to realize, to be grateful for what you currently do have, you know, like a roof over your head and food in your stomach to keep you from starving to death. It is a big deal to have that, because many people don't. Okay, number seven, you have one or two truly close friends. People worry about the quantity, but eventually they tend to realize that the number of people you can claim to be in your tribe has no bearing on how much you feel intimacy, acceptance, community, or joy. At the end of the day, all we really want are just a few close people who know us and love us no matter what. Number eight, you could afford a subway ride or a bus trip or a cab or an Uber, a cup of coffee, or the gas in your car this morning. The smallest conveniences are not variables for you. Number nine, you are not the same person you were a year ago. You are still learning, you're evolving, and you can identify the ways in which you have changed for the better and for worse. Number 10, you have the time and means to do things beyond the bare minimum. You've maybe been to a concert in the last couple of months or years. You buy books for yourself. You listen to podcasts like mine. You could take a day trip to some city that you always wanted to go. You don't have to work all hours of the day just to survive. Number 11, you have a selection of clothing at your disposal. You're not worried about having a hat or gloves in a blizzard. You have some cool clothes for the summer, and something to wear maybe to a wedding. You not only can shield and decorate your body, but you can do so appropriately for a variety of circumstances. Number 12, you can sense what isn't right in your life. The first and most crucial steps is simply just being aware. Being able to communicate to yourself something is just not right, even though I am not yet sure what would feel better. Number 13, if you could talk to your younger self, you would be able to say, hey, we did it. We made it out. We survived that terrible thing. So often people carry their past traumas into their present lives. And if you want any proof that we carry who we were and who we are, all you need to do is see how you respond to your inner child hearing, you're going to be okay, from the person they became. Number 14, you have a space of your own. It doesn't even have to be a home or an apartment, but it's obviously great if it is. All you need is a room, a corner, a desk where you can create, where you can rest at your discretion, where you govern who gets to be part of your weird little world, and to what capacity. It's one of the few controls that we actually exert. Number 15, you have lost relationships. More important than the fact that you've simply had them in the first place is that you or your former partner chose not to settle. I know this one may hurt, but it means that you open yourself to the possibility of something else being out there. And you also got to learn experience, and you got to love, and you got to see what you like, what you don't like, which is going to help you then find the person you're meant to be with. And it's going to also help you become the person you're meant to be with, because we need relationships to help us grow. Number 16, you're interested in something, whether it's how to live a happier life, maintain better relationships, reading or movies or sex or society or the axis on which the world spins. Something intrigues you to explore it, which means you are alive and well and not indifferent to life. Number 17, you know how to take care of yourself. You know how many hours of sleep you need to feel okay the next day, who to turn to when you're heartbroken, what you have fun doing, what to do when you don't feel well, and so on. Number 18, you are currently working towards a goal. Even if you're exhausted and it feels miles away, you have a dream for yourself, however vague and malleable it may be. Number 19, but you're not uncompromisingly set on anything for your future. Some of the happiest and best adjusted people are the ones who can make any situation an ideal, who are too immersed in the moment to intricately plan and decidedly commit to any specific outcome. I mean, that sounds really fun. I wish I was like that. And then number 20, you've been through some crap. You can look at the challenges you currently face and you compare them to the ones that you thought you'd never get over. You can reassure yourself through your own experience. Life did not get easier, but at least you got smarter, or I hope you did. Can I let you in on a little secret? My weekend favorite drink, it is Truly Seltzer. Truly believes that life can be more refreshing when we can be real, let loose, embrace imperfections, and allow ourselves to be free from convention. That is why I partner up with Truly, because Truly has something for everyone in more than 30 unique flavors, including 3 lightly flavored mix packs, berry, and their new party pack, which I am obsessed with. It has a flavor for everyone, making it perfect for you and your friends on weekdays, weekends, whatever you're up to. Truly should always be joining the party. Each flavor is super light, crazy refreshing, and it's made with real juice with only 5% ABV, 100 calories, and 1 gram of sugar in each can. Truly is the perfect drink to keep you on track with your New Year's resolution. Unless, of course, your resolution is to not have any fun, then you're on your own, buddy. Like, I literally hosted my game night a couple of weeks ago, and Truly was the talk of the town, and what I used to host all of my friends so we can have a little extra fun. So to find Truly Hard Seltzer near you, all you need to do is go to trulyhardseltzer.com/locations. That is trulyhardseltzer.com/locations. Truly Hard Seltzer, keep a light. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly. So how do we measure a good life? Well, we measure a good life based on how well we adhere to the trajectories, how closely what happens is aligned with our temporary subjective past thoughts about it. The measure of a life well lived is a cultural, social concept, and it's changed over time. The governing beliefs of what will make for a worthwhile existence right now for us is individual accomplishments. Like in other times in history was religious obedience or procreation and so on. We're not made to be self-serving in an existential way. In fact, we classify doing so as all but a mental disorder. Everything, even our most route daily tasks, only seem comfortable if they add up to something in the end. But we set out to maximize our pleasure regardless. We find that instead of our passions compounding into a spectacular life, we're empty and we're stressed and we're exhausted and we're twisted and in mental circles trying to make sense of why things don't feel the way they appear. Nothing looks the way we think it will. Nobody reflects on their life and concludes with, yeah, this is exactly how I thought it would go. The point is not to get reality to align with ideas about it or to manipulate those ideas about the uncontrollable so then we feel in power of them. Yet the measuring stick for a good life does just that, as it's still rooted in our most basic operating system, our survivalist instincts, which want sex and pleasure and fame and recognition and ego and attention is the hit and go. Get and chase, want and strive, and ruthlessly steal. We're able to dress these things up to seem civilized when the people acting on them are in offices and grocery stores and our Tinder accounts. Animals don't actualize what it means to have gotten their prey or not. They don't consider the psychological implications of a potential mate walking away. They don't piece together their lives or reach for more. Their instinctive existence works because they don't inherently desire to transcend it. Animals have no need to evaluate whether or not they've had a good life. So then they don't strive to be more than they are. Yet we do. Yet by measuring how much quote-unquote good we've done by images, ideas, and clean storylines, we sorely miss the point. We always end up falling short. We were not built to be more than we are. Our desire to be more isn't a matter of being beyond our humanity, but wanting to be comfortably in it. We learn that we are designed for the messiness and simplicity of everyday life, that desiring an external more is just a mechanism of the ego. It's not transcendence, it's avoidance. The way to measure a good life is by how much you still want to change it, which is proportionate to how much you inherently know it can be better. You measure a good life by your capacity to feel discomfort, the extent to which you've questioned yourself, how many times you've changed your mind and your path, the series of dogmas you've adopted and left, the family you chose for yourself, the number of coffee cups over which you've had funny and serious and hurtful and beautiful talks, the depth to which your empathy extends, the number of long walks you've taken by yourself and the journal pages you filled with incoherent thoughts. The evolution of the way you believe of your existence and the evolution of the way you perceive other people, the days you've soberly worked despite the shards of passion having dissolved. A good life isn't passionate. It's purposeful. Passion is the spark that lights the fire. Purpose is the kindling that keeps the flame burning all night. The number of relationships that you've had the courage to end. The easy way out is actually to stay. The comforting idea is to settle. The liberation is how many times you reach for something more, even though you can't conceive of what that could be. That unnameable feeling is the mark of a good life. You measure a good life by the time that you sincerely felt the sunlight across your bedsheets in the morning was awe-inspiringly divine. The ways you can count you were a better person than before. The ways you can count you'd like to be a better person in the future. The number of things that you lost and learned how to not attach to anymore. The number of moments in which you were almost at the end of your capacity, only to find that there was another ocean's worth once you were pushed beyond the surface. A good life is not measured by what you do. It's about what you are. Not how many people you've loved, but how much you've loved. It has nothing to do with how well things turn out or how seamlessly the plan is followed. It's about the bits of magic that you stumble upon when you dive off the path. It's not about the things that didn't work out. It's about what you learn when they don't. Those bits and pieces, awakenings, and knowledge are what build and make you able to perceive things greater than you can currently imagine. A good life is not about how it adds up in the end, but it's actually about what you're counting along the way. So if you want to have a good life, why not let yourself be happier than you think you deserve? If all great things are done by a series of small things put together, then great lives are created by a series of small moments put together, most of which we miss out on because we are writing the synopsis rather than the paragraphs of the chapters. It's as though we live to write our eulogies. We get degrees and spouses and desire storylines and unfolding fates that make sense and flow well and ultimately write beautiful and admirable stories, but only ones that we will tell ourselves. We're never actually remembered for more than who we were and who we loved and how we lived in a moment-to-moment sense. The rest, the big overarching milestone kind of things don't matter. And maybe they never even did. We miss the moments because we're distracted. Distracted by the one person we search for in a crowd. Fearing that they're there, even when they're hours and states and other impossibilities away. by the someone who is always on our mind when we're writing or creating or choosing the train or falling asleep, and we behave as though they're with us and narrate our lives by what they say and feel and think if they were with us. Though we know that we'd never know that. There's always one daunting task, always one to-do list that fails to include anything surrounding what we actually want to do. Not for work, not for the credit, not out of responsibility, but just because we want to be happy. Always one more promotion, one more move, one more great love to find before we can finally be happy. But we aren't. We don't choose. We don't think that we deserve it. We keep searching and we keep narrating and we keep living as though we have tomorrow to live out all of these grand fantasies and promises to ourselves. When the reality is that unless we stop today, we'll live forever on the premise and promise of tomorrow. These are daydreams. They're visions and hopes and issues that don't actually exist. The minute you start thinking of the past or future, realize that it's only a thought of a thing, a thought that's happening in a now that we are missing. Tomorrow never changes us. Our jobs never change us. Our relationships don't either, most of the time. Our problems change as the things in our lives do. The issues we take are the reflections of what's wrong with us. The people we hate, reflections of our insecurities. No matter how many things come and go, we take the same issues and hate the same people for the same reasons and never stop to realize that it's not them that we hate. It's the part of us they force us to recognize. You have to stop living for how other people will remember you. Stop living by telling yourself the story that you think other people will be happy reading, because it's an empty and lifeless one, and it robs you of the thing that you're most seeking when you do it. The most important thing that you do, what makes you happy, and that you understand that your happiness is your choice and your responsibility alone. It is not a day or a job or a relationship or a change away. It's right now. The only work to do is to remove the blocks that prevent you from living it out. The only change that has to happen is to you. The untold millions of little moments are what matters. It's not about having a job. It's about having a life that you want to live. It's not about having a degree. It's about the nights you finally felt the opposite of loneliness. It's not about having a relationship. It's about being in one. It's not about living a life that other people can sum up comfortably. It's about having a life wherein those millions of moments build and corroborate with another one. And you follow them and you have more. You won't be there to hear the stories and eulogies that they tell of you, but you're only here to know them right now. All right, you guys, and that concludes the end of today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I will see you Thursday. I love you, besties. You're doing just fine in life. Mwah.